everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting right here on Yachting International Radio. My name is Rhea. I am your host. And of course, Alistair, how's it going?
I'm good, Rhea. Yeah, really good.
Today, I wanted to talk to you about crew. We do know that more often than not, crew, everything is paid for in general when they're employed. But there are still some things that they can take off their taxes.
There are certain expenses that they're expected to pay themselves, such as often training courses and things, and they would be deductible. They're keeping the certificates upline, up to date.
So what if, for example, somebody flew from South Africa and managed to get themselves a job within a week on a yacht? Could they not claim the next year for that flight?
No, it's not a work expense. Deductions are deductions from your expenses that you need to do your work, but you're already working. Generally, I'd say every country is probably slightly different, but certainly in the UK, Australia type tax legislation is set up that you can't claim for pre-employment expenses.
How would you suggest to those that are still working on boats, but they also have an online business that they are earning income from? Would you suggest they do two separate? Will the online business apply that to their home country, and will the taxes come out? How does that affect their personal income, etc.?
If they're earning income at sea, I mean, everybody generally says it's great, it's tax-free, but the reality is that if you're a resident somewhere, so if you're going back to the same place, then there's a risk if you're not declaring that income in that country that you're resident in, that you're not paying the tax that you should be paying. If you're truly at sea and on the yacht 12 months of the year and really moving around, then you probably still need to look at where you're domiciled. You've got a house in, if you're domiciled somewhere like Australia and you've got a house there and your bank account's there and your dog's there and children are there, then you've probably got enough tie back to that country to be saying that you should be paying tax there. Equally with the UK, there is an exemption for seafarers. You have to apply for that exemption, and that's based on you being out of the country for a certain amount of time over the preceding 3 years. And if you qualify for that, then you get, it's not tax-free, but you get an exemption from paying tax.
A lot of countries, no matter how long you live overseas, you still have to pay a certain amount of tax to your home country.
Yeah, I think that depends. You've got to really look at where all the facts involved in it. So, you know, if you've still got that connection back to your, if your family is still in one country, if you buy your house there and you might be overseas, you've still got what they call a domicile. So, you know, a place where you're connected, which is home. If that exists, certainly both the UK and Australia will look at that domicile as part of whether you should be paying tax there. So if you're an Australian citizen or resident, you leave Australia, you're no longer resident in Australia. If you've maintained that domicile, you often should be still paying tax in that country. What then generally happens is most countries have double tax agreements, which dictate how it should work and where income should, tax should be paid on income, depending on what it is. So if you're a resident in the UK, but you're Australian domicile, and you're spending a lot of time in the UK, you would have to declare your income in the UK, but then you get a credit for the tax paid against your Australian taxable income.
Now, if, for example, you are in a country where there is no reciprocal agreement of that sort, but you are paying your home country tax, are you still entitled to the benefits that come with that tax as a regular citizen?
It is quite a complicated area in terms of often social security, which covers healthcare, etc., has different rules around it than tax. And often countries will want to see that you're still contributing into that social security to be able to get the full rights out of that. So certainly in countries like Malta, and I think Spain's the same, if you're an autonomo, you're paying your social security. If those payments aren't up to date, I don't think you'd be able to claim healthcare, for instance. Certainly in places like Malta, if you go to the hospital, you've got to prove that you're paying social security to be able to get free healthcare. So it very much depends. Or they'll insist on, you can be resident in a country, but they'll insist on you providing or having private healthcare as part of your residency.
It is a minefield. I mean, it doesn't matter how simple it is, even if you're just an individual, it's still a minefield when it comes to taxes. Every time I ask a question, there seems to be, well, it depends, well, it depends, well, this, it's really confusing, isn't it?
The important thing is to take advice. If you get advice up front on this is what I'm thinking of doing, this is what I'm doing, what should I do, that avoids the, then you can put a plan in place that works, that you know works, and the various countries. I mean, there's lots of countries offering digital nomad visas at the moment and with attractive rates to attract people to come and work there. And they're great, but yeah, I think it's important to take advice where you're coming from. There are ways if you're wanting to do the digital nomad thing, which I think more and more people are.
Yeah.
And certainly the crew that I've spoken to, a lot of them go into these service-based or looking at digital type industries that revolve around yachting, whether it's learning, development type training courses, which you can deliver from anywhere on a digital platform, then yeah, it's worth taking that advice and making sure that you have set that up so that you're only paying what you need to pay.
What is like the average cost they'd be looking at to have an accountant to do their taxes?
It's not going to cost very much. It just depends how complicated it is. It's in terms of, do they have other income? Do they have investment properties? Do they have shares? Do they have dividends? Or don't forget that every seafarer is automatically going to be away from their home state. So you're straight into having an international tax element to whatever they're doing. You know, you're going to have the home. It's not like working in one country and you're there and you can. It's very standard. Suddenly you're potentially living in a different country or spending time in different countries, and they have their different rule, and the way those interact with your home country will change. So that's where that becomes more complicated, I think, for seafarers.
Well, Alistair, you know what? As usual, it's been very interesting talking to you. But again, I don't understand any of it. So that's why I need to hire an accountant every year.
That's important as well, is to make sure that people aren't paying too much tax and they're claiming the things they're entitled to, which often if people are doing it themselves, they'll miss those things and either miss something that gives them a bigger tax bill with penalties, and or they'll miss something they're actually genuinely entitled to and pay tax where they don't need to.
You've been watching another edition of Talking Sense with Alistair Milroy of Breaking the Mold Accounting. My name is Rhea. I have been your host. We'll see you again next time.